Broad topics, broad minds, broad hosts, but not just for broads. This is Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall.
Welcome to Broadscast, everybody. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Jackie.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am fabulosity.
I like your shirt you're wearing today.
Yeah. My old school Broadscast.
It's old school. We should auction that off because it's like a...
Auction it off my body?
Yeah. It's a... what are those things called when they're really old?
Vintage?
Yeah. Or an antique.
So if you're just joining us for the first time, we are Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall. So what she's talking about is we've had a logo for, what, 5 years that I made... and have disliked ever since.
Right.
And we're in the middle of a rebrand.
Yeah, but the best thing about that is I ordered these shirts in multicolors and then I brought them to you, and it was like the day after you told me that you hated the logo,
right,
and that we were rebranding.
Because I didn't know.
I know.
Like, surprise.
I know. I think I bought mugs. I did a whole thing.
I drink out of that mug. I like it because, you know what? We're the only ones who have that.
And it shows us how far we've come.
Yes. And with our new branding, other people will be able to partake in the Broadscast swag.
Yeah, so just because she won't let me ever put any of her information up on our website, Suki Choi was the one that designed our current logo. If you haven't seen it yet, come over and check it out. But
Suki, she's amazing.
She's amazing, and she doesn't want any gratitude or appreciation.
Well, too bad, because she's got both.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, well, so we have a great show today. Samantha Edis is here.
Woo!
Samantha, if you've probably seen her doing the rounds. She's got a book out now, The Pie Life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to learn some things on work-life balance.
I really was sort of hoping in the beginning when I first learned about Samantha that it was going to be about food and pie.
It's The Pie Life, a guilt-free recipe for success and satisfaction.
I dig it.
Yeah, I totally dig it. Although the book has not come without a little bit of controversy. So we'll also talk about that. That's coming up.
Who doesn't love controversy?
In a little bit. Speaking of, well, I want to get to some other controversy in just a second, but, fill in everybody. So if you did not hear on one of our last episodes, Kim is now one of the newest correspondents on Crime Watch Daily. You're looking at me like, what is she outing me about?
You know why? I was sort of thinking that, it's funny because people have, come up to me and congratulated me on my new job, and I'm like, why, what happened? Like, I'm so don't get it.
A job on national television as a correspondent, which is like one of the things you've worked for, telling stories for and with victims, doesn't deserve some congratulations on your new job.
Because I feel like people don't pay attention. I mean, I've written a couple books. And so when people comment, you know, or they ask questions about it, I'm like, what? Like, I forget. And then I don't think that people actually read it. You know, kind of like when, you know, you write. We talk about this a lot on Facebook. Like, you don't think anyone's paying any attention, or when you were writing your blogs, like, you don't really know always how it reaches people.
Strangers pay attention, but just the people that we know and love that are closest to us. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. I can talk about anybody in my life that's close to me because there's not a chance any of them are listening. It's kind of refreshing and sad.
It is.
All at the same time.
It's nerve-wracking. It's great. And I feel very fortunate to be in this position. And Crime Watch Daily has been great so far. And
I think for people, too, that they don't necessarily, you know, I think television with all the stuff, like you could actually have more listeners or more people watching on a digital experience, like a digital TV, a digital show or a digital radio show or, you know. Like, we do just as well probably on the internet as we do on our radio stations across the country.
Right.
Because it's such a digital age. However, TV is still TV. Like, people, it's just this unattainable, or like it's kind of the benchmark.
Right.
Right. And so when people now see that you are doing all the amazing things you've been doing for 20 plus years now on television.
Right.
Now you've made it.
It's so awkward and uncomfortable because I'm so not that girl. And so it's I don't know. It's sort of funny to me because I'm such a bumbling turd when I go in there and I'm like doing what else, because I'm supposed to be all professional and reportery. I'm like, but I'm not a reporter. So I'm just still Kim.
I think that's what's refreshing. It's like when you meet a salesperson who's not a salesperson.
Yeah.
You know,
it's been good. I mean, you know, the bottom line is I'm just having conversations with people that I care about, and I care about their story, and it just happens to be recorded. I mean, that's sort of right, how I'm feeling.
Right. And they trust you, and that's amazing, because in this day and age of media, that's kind of hard to come by.
Yeah.
You know, they
we'll
trust
see.
You.
Yeah, it's good. I'm busy as I'll get out, but not too busy to have dominated my fantasy football league again. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we, 3 weeks in? Like, you might want to slow down with that.
I did. I think we're on week five. We're in week five right now, and I'm 4-1.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, wow. No, 3-1, because this is week five. So I would be 3-1. Wow. Yeah. But yeah, I had an amazing week.
So are the Patriots without Tom Brady, 3-1.
I know.
And so are the Rams.
I know. That's.
I decided this year, you know, we live in L.A. and the Rams came back to L.A.
Right.
They never were in L.A. when I lived here before, like in the 21 years I've lived here. So it's very exciting to have a football team.
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah, I have noticed that.
There's only one game.
While I sit at home, not being invited.
Yeah. Well, I have one. I'm sharing a seat, so I don't have to.
I'll sit on your lap. Or you could sit on mine. I'm heavier. But yeah, so football. Yeah. You're traveling this weekend?
I am.
It's
I
like
have
the Kim show right now.
I know. I seriously. Yeah, I do. I have my football trip this week. So
where are you headed?
I'm going to the Midwest. I'm going to a Packers game. I'm
are you
going to
wear cheese head?
Oh, I bought my cheese head.
Are you serious?
And it doubles as a drink carrier, so I can put my beers in it. I can turn my cheese head over.
Just, the way you just did your drink carrier, I thought you were like making like a cone bra.
Oh, that's kind of like when you turn that cheese head over, there are three slots for beers.
Wow.
So I can walk around the stadium.
Three slots.
Yeah.
You should totally sell beers. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be funny.
Because when people are at football and they don't want to get up, just walk around.
Yeah, okay.
You could probably get like $20 a pop.
I could do that.
Just a little extra money. I'm always about the side hustle, Kim.
I know, and I'm going to an Ohio State Wisconsin Badger game. Too.
Oh, really? While you're there too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know. Yeah,
I love this. And the pilot, like the we had Greg in here a few weeks back shooting. You talking about football, and now that's out there too. You guys need to Google Kim Goldman. Football fan.
Don't do it.
I love to put you on the spot.
So, putting people on the spot, I have been tasked at broadcast in the administrative offices to come up with all of the national awareness months and days. And I left the full calendar at home, but like to point out that this is Bat Appreciation Month.
Bat. Like the type you swing or the type that flies?
The type that has rabies and
Okay.
And so I thought that was pretty funny. It's also National Caramel Month. It's National
Caramel.
It's National Pizza Month. It's also National Home Eye Safety Month. but none of those should be overshadowed by the fact that it's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month and it's also Mental Health Awareness Month. But there were literally...
And you know it's also Breast Cancer Awareness
Month. Right. Well, I was getting there. But there were really like, I would say 40 different things that made me giggle about all the different awareness months.
Yeah. Where did they come from?
I don't know. But seriously, caramel? Pizza month?
I'm always aware of pizza. Every month.
I know, but it's just the silliest thing. And there's like events and outpourings of support and research and statistics. But Bat Appreciation Month shouldn't be confused with Bat Appreciation Day in April.
Not even in the month?
No, there's Bat Appreciation Day that's in April, but the month of October.
Hey, that's riveting.
It's a terrible segue into nothing too, by
the way. Really is. So again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal. Today's guest is Samantha Edis, author of The Pie Life. I love that, like The Pie Life, because it sounds like The High Life, but for juggling moms or women in general.
You cracked your code. You figured it out. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm looking forward to talking to Samantha about work-life balance. Speaking of work-life balance, so last week, or actually earlier this week,
You did something.
Went up to San Francisco, and I wrote and produced a conference called Remake for Brit & Co., which is a really cool website that does like DIY and women. It's very much for women, but empowerment and tapping into your creative self. Do you know 77% of women do not think that they're creative?
Yes.
Are you one of them?
I am.
Because you're so creative.
I don't think so.
See, it's. I think that we wake up. I mean, we wake up. We're born creative. And then what happens? I don't know, because, you know.
Well, I guess it's creative compared to what? Like, what am I in my view? I'm not creative because I look at other people and I think, wow, that was so creative. And I don't think that I would have come up with it. You know, I mean, that's sort of.
But there are so many different ways.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I guess that's what I'm thinking, that like compared to what? I mean, am I creative with the way I put my shoes and my bags together?
The way you wear two different shoes?
Yeah, the way I do that. but I, you know, I mean, is that how, you know? But then I look at, you know, when we had Leah Ashley in here, right? And she was so creative in how she put that head thing on.
Oh my gosh,
you know? But like,
right.
And here
she's
I am.
She's so creative with her style.
Right.
And
yeah. So I think that's what I'm saying, that like when if I compare myself to other people, I don't think I'm creative. Yeah. In my own space for that 2 minutes in the closet when I'm putting myself together, I'm like, oh, this is pretty creative. Right. And I walk out into the world, I'm like, I'm beige.
Like, well, with fashion, I could not be less creative. I am so fearful and like so uncomfortable in that world.
Yeah.
Like with fashion, makeup, all that stuff. Like, right. I would love to be more playful in that area. I need a stylist. I need somebody literally to take 10 different outfits and then just put them in my closet, like, you know, on the same hangers and stuff, or like give me a lookbook like Josie used to do on FabLife. Like, so I know how to put them together. But I am so not creative in that way.
Yeah.
But there are, they had this conference, right? So they brought together like 600 invitation only creatives, entrepreneurs, tech people, all in the San Francisco, from the San Francisco area, and brought them together in this one room and had amazing speakers, from Melanie Whalen, she's the CEO of SoulCycle, to Katya Beecham from Birchbox. To Tyra Banks, who I've worked with before.
Right.
Brene Brown, which like you would have thought God walked into the room. Like, this woman, if you guys don't know who Brene Brown is.
I did not. So don't
you
feel
didn't,
bad. I had
so.
No idea. Yeah.
She is not only one of like Oprah's peeps, but she is this amazing speaker. She's a researcher. She has one of the top 5 TED Talks of all time. About this TED Talk on vulnerability, which you definitely should, I think you especially should look at. It's about the gift of vulnerability. And we
kind of
love
hanging with that one.
Yeah, but we talk about that a lot, and like what strength looks like versus, you know. So she was there, and, you know, Justina Blakeney from The Jungle. It was just all of these amazing. Oh, Sophia Amoroso, you know, from she wrote Girl Boss.
Right.
She was there. So anyway, but Melanie, in a recent interview when I was researching so I could like write the intros and setups and some of the questions and answers in the panels and stuff, Melanie was asked one time about work-life balance, and she said, there's only one life.
Right.
Like, that's it. So you have this life to do all the things you want to do.
Right.
And I don't know if that's helpful or hurtful, but
so she was basically saying that there is no work-life balance; it's just life balance, and that you just have to make everything
work within that one life.
Oh, I'll have to see what Samantha says about that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. So just hit a couple of topics before we get over to our interview. So Florida, Matthew.
Yes.
Matthew is like a lovely name, doesn't he? Doesn't sound all that. I have a little brother, Matthew, just for the.
Who comes up with the?
Just for the
hurricanes.
Yeah, right.
Is there a rhyme or reason? We should look into that. There is a rhyme or reason. I feel like I've heard this before. You're going to quickly Google this.
Yeah, totally.
There is some method to their madness when they name hurricanes, and I can't remember what it is. But yeah,
the names usually aren't all that common. You know,
like Katrina. Remember when?
Yeah.
But like, so I
it's
think
like usually like Ethel or like, you know what I mean? It's,
oh God.
Which is a lovely name, but it's not all that common.
But I think I read this morning or heard this morning when I was coming to the studio that it is moving, that it is not as dangerous as they thought. I mean, people are still, they're still under warning and phone lines are out and that kind of stuff. But I think that they said it had the worst part Or am I incorrect?
No, I was reading that as well. But, you know, what's interesting is there are people, you know, evacuating or who have evacuated already. And then there are those who don't.
Right.
Those who stay in their homes, whether they have animals or... And I think...
Would you leave?
Yes.
Yeah, I would totally go.
100%. Yeah. I'd probably leave before they tell me. Yeah. I would rather just, like, use that as an opportunity to go on a little family getaway.
A walkabout. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
On a walkabout.
On a walkabout?
Yes.
Is that... did you move to...
I don't know. I've just always said, like, we're going on a walkabout. I don't know. It's just stupid.
But I you know, I think because I think it's the media's fault. And I know I'm always quick to blame the media, even though we are it.
Yeah.
Because we hype up.
Oh, I know.
So much that people are so desensitized to this. Like, even if you look back at Hurricane Katrina or the one in New York there. Sandy, thank you.
Yeah.
My brain, over 40 brain. She, you know, the people, like, people died. But right. I think other people, because it was, like, we're just desensitized to it. Do you think?
I just, whenever I hear, you know, these warnings, I always hear the theme song in my head, like, dun, 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 because everything, it's like, Stormwatch 2016.
When there's a sprinkle. Sprinkle,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so it's hard to gauge... I mean, it's hard to gauge, I think, the level of intensity because everything is always at heightened intensity. I think that's what you're, is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So I think that people, you know, just blow it off.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you're going to do that about a little sprinkle,
right,
then how bad could this possibly be?
Right. And but in Florida,
yeah,
they're laughing at us when we have Stormwatch 2016 out here in California.
Right.
You know, so maybe it's different in different areas. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the coverage is different.
Right. But I just think that people are not following directions.
Yeah.
You know? So let's talk about another storm.
Oh,
the Kardashians. So I need to give you all a heads up. Kim.
What?
What is our one rule on the show?
We do not talk about that family. We are not a Kardashian-free zone.
I have to break the rule.
I know you do.
We've discussed this. There was like a committee meeting. we all got together and
we
discussed
all got together, okay, all of our personalities.
All both of us. Mm-hmm. And discussed whether we should break our rule to discuss the latest with Kim Kardashian. And... do you want to keep the rule in place?
No. Yeah, I'm happy.
Because Kim Kardashian, it is reported that she was in Paris and was the victim of an armed robbery. That they held a gun to her head. They were dressed as policemen.
Right.
And in a luxury home, not or apartment, like not a hotel.
Right.
Luxury apartment.
Right.
It doesn't matter really who you could plop in any person in this, any celebrity in this situation. But I think the fact that it was her kind of is really important to the story.
Okay.
Because she's so out there. She's so, you know, you get to see and know every single thing that happens.
Literally.
You feel like you are in her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think of this story?
What do I think? I think at first I thought it was BS. I felt like it was contrived, and then I felt really bad for feeling that way because, you know, I'm very sensitive to victims and survivors.
Right.
And so I was like, God, I can't believe I thought that. But there is an element that felt like something seems fishy about this story. But then I go back and think, you know, crime doesn't always make sense, you know, and why things happen and who's targeted and how things transpire. And it doesn't always make sense, maybe because I'm not a criminal. And so I can't always make sense of crime. But it just something seemed bizarre to me that A, she was without her kids. Like, where were the kids? Because she was in Paris with her kids. So where were they?
So the kids were in Paris.
Yeah. And she was alone in this location. Her bodyguards were not with her.
Her regular bodyguard was actually back with her sisters at some club.
Right. So they have one bodyguard between the three of them? Like, I don't know. It seemed weird. It seemed weird that someone could storm the room dressed in police. Like, why? What's the point of all? Like, it just, I don't know. Something just sounded fishy. But then that she was tied up and gagged. I don't know.
And who found her?
Well, then their stories are that the concierge was the one that let them in because he was held at gunpoint, and that he suddenly was tied up, and that Kim Kardashian and the concierge dude were talking. Like, I don't know. There's like, huh, something just seemed bizarre to me, but I don't know.
Well, according to Us Weekly, so I'm looking this up. It must be true because it's Us Weekly. That there's video now, according to the Hollywood Reporter. You ever notice that? You like go online and it's like, this one says according to this one, yeah, and then that one says according, yeah, to that one before me, you right know. We're all just regurgitating other people's stories.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
But so there was video of
police have recovered surveillance camera footage from a shoe store across the street.
Right. That of people coming into the...
Oh, she was sleeping when five men disguised as police officers attacked her, taking off with $10 million worth of jewels.
Oh.
The CCTV footage shows a black limo with tinted windows passing the building three times. Let's see.
So the concierge...
She called her bodyguard for help at 2:56 a.m.
Uh-huh.
So she must have had a bodyguard there.
No, she called him on the phone. She said that she released her bodyguard. I thought that it was that she sent him off to go be with the sisters because they were still out or something, and she...
Oh, but they were in Paris?
Yeah, they were all in Paris for Fashion Week.
Oh. I thought they were back in LA.
No. Well, maybe now they are, but they were in Paris, and she was with her family or with the kids, and she was with the sisters. It was Fashion Week, I thought.
Hmm.
And the sisters were there, and they were at a club.
But what's interesting that they see this thing passing by, but I guess they didn't see them like go in or...
I don't know. It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that because of who the Kardashian family is and how much they put themselves out there and how nutty they always appear, that people's first reaction is that it was BS. And I feel like...
Just for the record, that's always my reaction to everything.
Yeah, like, I always
whenever
wonder,
I hear a story,
yeah,
that just seems weird,
yeah,
my first reaction is that it's not true.
Right. And people are accusing her of, you know, designing this break-in because, you know, they're Keeping Up with the Kardashians show is premiering, that it was a PR stunt. You know, that because of past things that the family has done in terms of like selling sex videos for money, blah, 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 to exploit the families, that maybe this is another... They were, you know, joking that it was Ryan Lochte 2.0. I mean, the internet went crazy. But then I also feel like, you know what, if it legitimately happened to her, that's scary. That's traumatizing, right? You know, and to think in a flash of a second, regardless of how legitimate the threat was, to think that your life could be over, that, you know, to be harmed. I mean, it's just like, I can appreciate that. It's just, it's unfortunate. I think that everybody very quickly assumed that it was BS.
Yeah. And
wished worse for her. Like,
well, that's the thing. I think there are two sides of this. Number one is, because she puts herself out there, does she deserve to be attacked and robbed?
Right.
In the privacy of her rented apartment? Like,
right.
No, you know, and I think that people, because of their, and we're the first, I'm the first. I promise you, like, I disregard half the things that happen in their lives because I think that they're ridiculous. Like, I think what they put out there, you know, people love it and that's fine, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Right.
However, the stuff I was reading, the comments that people were making online about, like, you know, rape jokes and wishing she were killed, like, what is wrong with us?
I know.
What is wrong with our country? What is wrong with our world?
It's terrible. I mean, and I think that's partly why you and I wanted to break the rule, is not to have a conversation about the legitimacy of the claim or the alleged crime, but really about the reaction that it sparked in people and how insensitive people can be when others have been hurt. I mean, I see stories all the time of, you know, what happens to people, and then the comments are, oh, you deserved it. You shouldn't have been, you know, whatever, like, you had it coming. Like, really, when did we become so
This is
horrible?
Like a high profile version of, you were asking for it because of the way you're dressed.
Right. And that's the part that I'm always disappointed in. And quite honestly, you know, it's sort of being portrayed on the national stage. You know, when you are watching our campaign and our political campaign right now, it doesn't stop with just internet comments. You know, it's being broadcast for the whole world this you know, this nastiness. And, you know, I mean, these are our leaders, our potential leaders that are out there making negative comments about minority groups and women and certain ethnicities. You know, like, where do we, why do we expect that our little trolls sitting in a computer behind an avatar are going to be kind when our potential presidents, you know, get on Twitter at 3 o'clock in the morning or in debates and, you know, slam each other. Like, when did we get so nasty? You know, I don't know. It just makes me sad.
It's extremely sad. And I think that, you know, it doesn't stop with, like you were saying, like, doesn't stop with celebrities. It doesn't stop with people in the news. You know, we're just all, it's our presidential election. Can you imagine, like, past presidents and, you know, your history books, and this is what we're doing? We're having Twitter fights and, like, calling people crook. I mean, you know,
I think that, you know, there is a part of me that always wonders, has it always been this way? And because of social media, we're now just being able to witness it? Or has social media helped create this sense of freedom that people have to say whatever thought pops into their mind whenever they feel like it, because they can and because they have at least one person is always going to listen, because all you need to do is put it on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, Vimeo, whatever. Mm. I mean, there's a gazillion social media sites that you can put your opinion out there, and at least one person is going to respond to you. And then I think that just feeds the beast.
Yeah.
You know? So even if it's just for shock value, you know, I mean, think about some of our shock jocks that we've had and, you know, I mean, they put stuff out there just to get a reaction out of people. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know. I'm just disappointed in this culture.
There are plenty of people on the air that are just as mean as those trolls.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just, you know, are able to, they make money for other people. So it's accepted.
Yeah.
You know, so
let's
not be those people. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, like super, super duper quick. You're listening to Broadcast. We'll be right back.
Subscribe to Broadcast on iTunes.
Hey, that was our break. So, if you guys haven't
to go
seen
to the bathroom.
It, have you seen Kim, have you seen your video on Facebook and YouTube of you cooking?
Oh my gosh.
Yay!
Totes my goats.
Blue Apron. You totally cooked with your son. It was so cute.
I did my shrimp and grits.
My favorite thing is that you're like, where's your video? I'm like, I didn't do one. I manage the videos. I don't do them.
Yeah. Yeah. You set me up on that one.
Yeah. But, if you guys haven't checked it out yet, you can get 3 meals free plus free shipping at blueapron.com/broads. blueapron.com/broads. So I'm excited for October because I don't know, like, there's something about the fall coming in, and I just love to cook and pour a glass of wine and, like, have the windows open for the first time.
So Blue Apron has different menus, right? Like,
you never see the same meal twice within a year.
Oh.
So, yeah, in October, they have, like, roasted pork, if you're into that, pork steamed buns with black garlic mayo and spicy cabbage slaw.
Ooh, black garlic mayo.
Right? Or seared salmon and fall vegetable hash with apple brown butter dressing. Like, hello.
Oh,
there are so many different. I love that you could put in your preferences.
Right.
Like, you put in that you don't eat beef.
Right.
And I don't eat pork or.
You don't eat pork?
I don't. Not into it.
How come?
Bacon's weird.
We don't eat bacon. Like that pork, whatever, that pork bun thing, that sounded delicious.
It did sound delicious. Yeah. Like, and it's not that I've not had something that has it in it. I just don't seek it out to cook it.
Right.
Or order it.
Right.
But I could just put that in.
Right.
You know? Or like shellfish or whatever it is that you aren't into, you can just put it in your preferences.
Well, and what I also noticed too, because you and I ordered different things, that we had different recipes, but like you had something that had a different meat.
Yes. I had chicken, or you had chicken and I had beef.
Yeah. Which was
amazing.
Good because it means that you're not skipping any, like I can still make what you made, just use a different meat product.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it's very tailorized. And I said also that I love that it planned appropriately for the amount of people that I put in, because I'm a terrible shopper when it comes to like how much I'm supposed to buy. I'm either way over or not enough.
Yep.
So this was great. I had enough for my son and I. We had leftovers.
You could put in the lunchbox the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this before, but people have asked me over and over again, like, they have a family of four that are big eaters. Is it going to be enough? And I got the box for a family of four and we have five.
Right.
And I've had leftovers each time.
Yeah.
So it's and we're, you know, we're considerable eaters.
Yeah.
So I mean,
consider
I just like,
eating. Yes.
So I just like that, you know, there's so much variety. You're never going to get, like I said, the same recipe and the ingredients. Like,
yeah,
I don't buy things like shallots or,
right,
you know, some of these veggies and these seasonings and stuff like that, that really make a huge difference.
Well, I, in the video, you know, too, I thought that for Sam and I, like, he was really vested in what we were making because he was doing it with me. He opened up the box and it comes in this great.
I know, it's like Christmas.
Yeah. And it was like an ice pack in there, you know, and so Sam was really vested and he couldn't wait to cook, you know, so, and it was easy to follow. And there were things, and I didn't have to buy anything, even like the little pat of butter, you know, came in the container.
Yeah.
So I, for us, it was fun. It was family time, for Sam and I to be able to do that together. And he totally ate with me. You know, he didn't turn his nose up on anything. And
right.
So,
yeah. And, so, and they always say that kids, like, especially picky eaters, they tend to eat, right, more variety and better if they're involved in the kitchen. So I think that's good.
BlueApron.com/broads.
Yes.
For your special broads only,
yeah,
opportunity,
three
to
meals,
be able to try
free and free shipping.
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and
Jackie McDougal.
So I do want to, before we go to our guest, and I'm very, very excited for Samantha, head over to iTunes or broadcast.com, because September was kind of huge, don't you think? For like,
oh,
and October,
what,
is,
are we
like
in October already?
We're in October, but like September was huge when it comes to guests, and yeah, October, it's just like we're just rolling.
It's just huger in October.
It's the hugest month in broadcast
history.
It's
gonna be huge.
I mean, between, yeah, like Leah Ashley and Lauren Mack, we had from Fab Life, you know, to Paternity Court's Lauren Lake, who, by the way, amazingly smart and awesome, and, like, I want to be her best friend.
Like, wait,
to Mom Boss,
something
Nicole
about
Feliciano,
your life,
yeah, American Ninja Warrior, Jesse Graff. Okay, I'm done. We're in October now. So without further ado, we've got Samantha Edis on the line. Hi, Samantha.
Hello. How are you? I'm so happy to be on your show.
Hi,
thank
Samantha.
You. We're
are
so
you
happy.
Sam or Samantha? What do you, when you're casual having a glass of wine, are you Samantha or Sam?
Well, after this podcast, we'll definitely be old friends and I'll be Sam.
Okay, cool. So,
so until let's just start now.
Awesome. Yosemite Sam is what I call Kim's.
Yeah, son. My son is Sam. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Love yeah. it.
Whenever I'm in a toy store, I actually have trouble because every mom calls their kids Sam or Samantha. So I'm always like running after a mom being me, you know.
Oh, right.
That's so funny. I had that same issue at Disneyland with my son is Jacob. And I realized, like, thankfully now he goes by Kobe, because you just hear Jacob everywhere because yeah. it was like the number one. Anyway, enough of that. So thank you for being on the show. Your book is on fire, girlfriend.
Oh, thank you.
So
I hope so.
You just launched your fifth book, The Pie Life, A Guilt-Free Recipe for Success and Satisfaction. And it just came out in the end of September, right?
Yes, it just came out last week. And I am already in week two of my 20-city book tour.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So why did you sit down and pen that book? What drew you to that?
This is like my, I would say for the last 6 years, it's my complete focus professionally is on really cracking the work-life balance code and figuring out what the most successful women have in common and what it is that makes them have a fulfilling, happy life. And so what happened was, just to take you a little bit further back, in 2001, I had just graduated from Harvard Business School. I had launched my own company that was focused on personal branding. And I quickly realized that you couldn't talk to women CEOs or professionals without also covering the elephant in the room, which was how they were managing their personal and professional lives. And at the same time, I saw so many of my Harvard Business School classmates dropping out of the workforce. And I thought, what's going on here? Something isn't quite right. And so I spent the last 6 years kind of devoting my career to really understanding this issue and realizing that the current paradigms we have don't work. And I developed a new one.
Wow. Oh. there's so many things just to there. I mean, when people are dropping out of the workforce, do you feel like it's by choice, like truly, you know, a empowered choice, or is it like, I can't do all of this, so I need to give something up in just in your research?
Well, I think that there's a number of reasons people drop out of the workforce. Often, you know, one of the people I quote in my book is Lisa Belkin, who wrote the very famous New York Times Magazine article, The Opt-Out Revolution, and then covered the same women who had dropped out years later, and most of them had regretted their choice. I think, you know, how she says it is that we enter our careers for very rational reasons and leave them for emotional ones. I think that sometimes we have that one moment that just pushes us over the edge and we think, oh, we can't handle it all. So that's one segment of the population. And then there's another segment that does really faulty math and says, I'm going to look at the cost of my salary versus childcare for 1 year. And since they're so, you know, similar, I'm taking care of the kids myself. And unfortunately, that really doesn't take into consideration the reality of the modern day workforce, which is that we actually can't get back to work after we leave the workforce. 60% of women who want to return can't find full-time positions.
And is that because they've aged? Like, why can't they get back in?
Well, if you were hiring, Kim, and you were looking at two resumes and one person had been working until yesterday and one person hadn't worked in 2 years, you're a lot more apt to hire the one that was working until yesterday because there's not as much training involved and there's not the risk that they're going to want to go back home after they, you know, get back to work. And so there's a lot more risk involved in someone that's left their industry or left the workforce than there is in hiring someone who's been continuously working. So that's one part of it. And then the other part is a lot of people don't keep up, you know, their networks after they leave the workforce. And so that's their networks run cold or they don't keep up their skill set or keep up with the industry. So there's a lot of reasons for it. But unfortunately, whatever the reasons are, that's the reality. And so we talk about women having choices and we want women. We think of modern day feminism as having a choice between working and staying home. But unfortunately, the reality is that it actually limits your choices because the baby years are so short. They're just about 5 years until your kid is in kindergarten full time. And our careers and our lives are long. Right. And when you're only making short-term decisions, you're not thinking, of course, about the future. You're just thinking of right now. And it seems like your child will need you desperately forever. But then you soon realize that that's not the case. And then you don't have a career. So my mission is all about really helping women figure out how to manage it all and be happy in the process and allowing them to drop the guilt and the quest for perfection and realize that a happy, full life involves a lot of different dimensions, not just motherhood and work.
Right. So you talk about the seven slices in that pie. Can we break those down a little bit? What's the first slice?
Yeah, I mean, and they're really not prioritized at all in the book. They're all important, and some of them might be a sliver today, but you still want to have them. And so they are career and parenting, if you have kids, and your relationship or your quest to find one, your health, your hobbies, your friends, and your community. And the happiest and most fulfilled women are those that play in six or seven slices, not just two or three.
Oh. Yeah. It's funny because you say those seven slices and like at first I'm like, yeah, I got those too. And then you keep going and I'm like, oh no, I don't have those.
But I actually think that most of us probably do. I think that maybe it's like what you're saying, Samantha, that they're not really in any order of priority. That can you do those things at different times and still feel like you're participating in all of them? Or is that supposed to be all within a month? You should have hit one of those or two of those seven. Like, how do you?
No, I think it's actually what you just said is true. It's like, for example, you might go hiking with a friend and then you're kind of covering your friend's slice and your health slice. So you can mix and match them and every day is not going to be a perfect, you know, split of all of these slices. But over the course of a month, of a year, you want to make sure that you're attending to all of them. And so one of the ways to do that is to acknowledge that they all exist. But what we tend to do, especially as working moms, is a lot of times we'll just be like, okay, my kids and my work. And we say, okay, you know what, I'll deal with my marriage or my relationship later on. Or if we're single, we'll say, okay, we'll date later on. And what I'm saying is don't do that. You know, have a night every week that you're going to go on a date or you're going to date your own husband or partner and give yourself permission to go on the mom's night out or, you know, out with friends and give yourself permission to exercise 3 times a week if that makes you happy. It's really important that we're modeling that kind of behavior for our kids. So if you say, okay, what would I want for my kid? I wouldn't want my child to grow up and think that life is all hardship and no fun. And so they see the life we lead, and that's the life they're more likely to lead.
So you say that, you know, giving yourself permission. So you alluded to it before about removing the guilt. How do you teach women and men, quite frankly, but I know your focus is on women in here, but like, how do you teach women to not have guilt when they go and do these things and give themselves permission?
It's really hard. It really is. And one of the things is, first of all, you're not going to suddenly go from feeling guilty to not feeling guilty tomorrow. I mean, that's an unrealistic thing. But at the same time, I would love to know, do you and Jackie, do you guys suffer from a lot of guilt?
I don't suffer from a lot of guilt. I suffer from giving up on some of those slices of pie because it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen, and then just sitting home and eating all 7 slices.
So which parts seem like they're not going to happen?
Well, like the friends, I definitely lack. Like, I have some of the most amazing women in my life, and I don't make that time
right
that I would like. And I'm not even going to say should, because I don't make the time that would fulfill me, because I know how I feel when I get back from a great conversation. Like, Kim and I went out. It's funny. We went out a few months ago and I'm still talking about it because it was like, so it reminds me of who I am outside of work and outside of the kids. And
okay,
outside, you know.
Jackie, I think that you just hit the nail on the head. We don't want to wait 3 months for you to find out who you are again, right? It's like, you deserve that night out with friends. And so if it makes you happy to go out with Kim, why not set another date now and make it a monthly event?
Right. I just keep adding days that we're on the radio, and so she'll spend time with me.
Yeah. Could we please have another production meeting, Kim? I'm like, can we please have it with wine, Jackie?
Well, wine is always included. But I think, you know, I've been a stay-at-home mom. I've been a work. Right now, I'm a work-from-home mom. So I feel more than ever that I'm able to pick up my kids or show up if, you know, have one home and they're sick. And but I know those days, like not too long ago when I was commuting 3 hours a day, some of this was not even an option for me, you know. So what about those people who are like working those long hours and they feel like they're stuck? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you know, I've worked now with thousands of women, and the number one problem that we all have is a feeling of being stuck. I would say across the board on my radio show, that's the number one problem people have, whether it's stuck in a relationship or stuck in their parenting style or stuck in their job. And it sometimes takes very small changes to get unstuck. So it could literally be adding that one, you know, night a week where you're going out with other adults, or it could be walking or driving a new way to work, or, you know, thinking of things differently. I had a woman call my radio show, and she was flipped out because she had 2 kids and she worked 6 days a week. And on that 7th day, she was just so exhausted that they would just sit in bed together on the one day she had with her kids and watch TV. And I said to her, what would happen if every Sunday, instead of watching TV, you planned in advance that you were going to go to the zoo or go on a picnic or do some adventure with them, go to the movies and dinner, whatever it is that you plan, go to the beach. And if you said every Monday, okay, guess what we're doing on our Sunday date? And all week long, our kids have that to look forward to. It would totally change the dynamic between you all week long. And she did it and called me back weeks later and said that it was literally like life-changing, even though it was such a minor change. It was just making a plan in advance that her kids could look forward to and that brought them out of the house.
See, and I look at that and I think, because I work so hard all week and my brain is always going, that I don't want to plan one more thing on the day that I don't have to like leave my house. And so for my kid and I, who too also has a very busy schedule, my son is begging for lazy days. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, oh, thank God.
Well,
you know,
that's pretty different. That doesn't sound like a son who's needy of your attention. It sounds like he already gets a lot, right?
Correct.
So I think that where this applies to this particular woman, it was feeling like she wasn't giving enough to her kids or bonding enough with her kids. So obviously every single situation is very different. And, you know, there's a woman in my book who's commuting an hour and a half each way. But at the same time, she and her husband still had a weekly date night. Like, she still had a very full, rich life. She still talked to her friends on the commute every day, mm-hmm. on the phone. So I think that, you know, we have to all construct a life that works for us, given the ingredients we have. And one of the things that we tend to do as women, we love to measure ourselves, right? From our dress sizes to, you know, our SAT scores. We've just been brought up to constantly measure ourselves. And one of the things that I encourage women to do is not to think your life is going to start 10 pounds from now, or a new boyfriend from now, or a promotion from now. It's use what you have today and then make the best life possible for yourself, given the ingredients you already have.
Right. Where do you think that women tend to suffer when it comes to the 7 slices? Like, which ones usually get pushed aside?
Well, as soon as we become moms, we tend to push aside the friendship slice for sure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, if we're married, we tend to think, okay, that relationship will always be there. I'll just go on date nights or have more intimacy with my partner, you know, when my kids are older, because that's not what I want right now. So I'll have the kids sleep in my bed and, you know, that's what we'll do. And what ends up happening a lot of times is that those marriages don't work out because there's so little attention on the relationship. And then, you know, you just become further and further apart and more distant. So it's usually in the relationship category that we tend to fall short. And we just think that, you know, I'll deal with friends in 18 years. And unfortunately, that's not how the world works. Earlier this year, my mom got very, very ill, very suddenly. She'd been in perfect health. She was 72 years old, a total dynamo, and suddenly had a stroke in February, and within a few days was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh my gosh.
She was in New York and I was in LA. And so I had to pretty much drop everything and practically move in to the hospital and handle her care and manage everything. And I relied so much on my village and my friends. And it really, if I hadn't already set up that support network before the crisis hit, I would have been in terrible trouble. But thank goodness I had just moved to Los Angeles from New York 5 years ago with no family and no friends, and worked really hard to find those friends and find people I could count on. And suddenly I was the needy one being like, can you pick up my kids from school again today? You know, I was really relying on my village. So I think that, you know, one of the things to realize is like, your kids are healthier when you have close friendships, because it's good modeling and it also keeps you happy and engaged and it makes you more patient with them. And when you have a good relationship, they see what love is about. And so these are the things that we can give to our kids as gifts, as opposed to feeling like we're taking away from them.
Yeah. When you asked before about like having guilt, I mean, I'm a single parent. And so, Sam and I are together a lot. But when he was younger and I would take time to go be with my friends, he would always give me that face. I'm like, you know what? Me going and having special time with my girlfriends makes me a better parent, makes me a better woman, makes me a better, you know, community leader, whatever it is. My guilt only comes when I have work obligations that are like back to back. I don't like being gone for, you know, 2 nights in a row or being gone on business trips or whatever, because I just feel like this is the most important time in his life.
We always feel like that?
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, I think that, you know, Samantha, you said earlier, like, you know, when they're babies, you know, they need us so much. They need us to feed them and bathe them and change their poopy diapers. But now my son needs consistency. He needs modeling. He needs, you know, it's a different need at this point. And I joke with Jackie that she was my last friend that got in, because my friend quota had reached its max, because I want to be able to put time into my friendships. And Jackie got in by the grace of God. I don't know, but
it was 2009. She had room for one.
Yeah,
more
one
slot.
More. I had one more slot open.
Are very lucky, Jackie.
but I really do feel like I know my limitations, and I want to be able to put time and effort into those relationships, because I do feel like, and you said it perfectly, Samantha, about modeling good behavior, you know, and modeling relationships and healthy balance. I think we talk a lot on broadcast about, you know, women having it all. And that phrase bugs me, because I feel like in some ways, like, what does that mean? And what kind of pressure am I putting on myself? And why? Why do I have to have all of it?
Also, by the way, none of us can even think of anyone who has it all. So why are we talking about it? Men don't talk about something that's unachievable. So why are we talking about it?
Right. Well, I that's very true. But I mean, I come from a different philosophy that is like, you know, if you think you have it all, then you do. So it's all a state of mind. Like
I'm like that too. Yeah. And mine is similar. It's just like you can manage it all. Like, forget about having it all. You can manage it all. You can manage a really full, great life. And it's up to you to do that. And it's your choice to do that. And what you're saying about your son, like, you know, I think that a lot of this is about creating a life that works for you, right, but giving yourself permission to be involved in all areas of your life. You know, I have had women who are super successful professionally and have thriving families who will cry mentioning that they just can't find time to work out. And when you peel the onion a little bit, you realize that they could work out on Saturday mornings and, you know, one or two mornings a week, but they feel guilty that if they were in the office all week, they shouldn't work out on Saturday mornings. And what I'm saying is, like, your kid will actually benefit from seeing you get energy from exercising and living a healthy lifestyle. And so you leaving for an hour is not going to change your life, but it could change yours. And I think so often as women, we kind of deprive ourselves of the things that are going to make us happy and more fulfilled.
Right. So Kim, you know, Kim talks about being a single mom, and I've always been in awe and of how she does make time for these friendships. Like, she's got this great community of women that she will travel with, or, you know, I mean, it's like a really core group. And I have these amazing friendships that I hardly ever see these people, you know what I mean? So, but she, you know, she talks about this, and I think as a single mom, for survival, you need to have those friendships, like, to keep you going as a woman, right? So I'm married with three kids, and so I find that when I finally have a second away from the kids, I feel like, oh, well, I'm supposed to be feeding this into my marriage, you know? And so it's a total other level of complex.
You know. Well, you know, not to be, I'm not at all trying to be negative, but I do believe that sometimes the unexpected happens, right? And if, God forbid, a crisis hit, you want that village, right?
Are you saying that my husband's leaving me, Samantha?
No,
I'm just kidding.
God forbid he gets sick or whatever. Like, I just think that you just never know. But in more than 50% of cases, either someone gets sick or drops dead or something unexpected that we weren't expecting happens. And so what position are you in if that happens? And one of the things I will tell you is there was a 2006 study of breast cancer patients, and those with 10 or more friends, the patients who had 10 or more friends, they had a 4 times higher survival rate than those with less than 10 friends.
Wow.
And they did the same study, they looked at the impact of relationships and partners, and they had zero impact on survival rates. So your friends could literally save your life and your husband can't.
I'm totally going to tell him that too.
It's going to make him feel awesome. Yes.
But I think that, you know, one, and we only have a minute left, but one of the biggest problems is asking for help. So you talk about these, I love to help. Like, when my friends, you know, Kim's been in situations, I'm like, I got it. Let me help you. Like,
right.
And she has a hard time allowing me, you know, to do that. And I'm the same way, where, you know, I had to do something and I had an emergency one night and she's like, I'll come over. And I'm like, and finally I just said, okay. You know, I think that, how do we learn how to accept help?
I think that's a great point. We're so used to doing everything and nurturing and doing all those things. But I mean, I think, you know, as I said, with my own experience earlier this year, I was also the one who, you know, I kind of like to think of it as like a currency. So, for example, I knew I was going to be traveling on book tour and away from my kids, like, for the bulk of the week for 8 different weeks, right? And so I knew that I didn't just need my husband, I needed my village to help out because there's only one of him. Mm-hmm. And so before I left, I spent sort of way more time at home than I normally do. And so I was always the mom for those few weeks, like offering to pool and offering proactively to take people's kids, because I knew in a couple of weeks I'd be the one that was going back and asking for the favor from them.
Right.
So it is really a currency. Like, I do think that putting, you know, helping other people makes it easier to ask for help. And given your personality, Jackie, it seems like you are the kind of person that would benefit from, you know, feeling like, okay, you know what, I'm helping them, it's okay to ask for help. And I think that can only strengthen you, because think of your kids. If you won't do it for yourself, you want your kids one day to be comfortable asking for help, and they'll only learn that from you.
Okay, I'll do it.
She's got her head hanging low, Samantha.
think that you should open your friend well to a couple of other people besides Kim and I think and your husband. Like, I feel like other friends deserve your friendship too. And so maybe you could be open to having a couple of additional friends in your life.
All right, I'll make it happen.
Samantha, you can say, you can put your application in.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hate that we have to go.
The Pie Life, a guilt-free recipe for success and satisfaction. People can find you on SamanthaEdis.com, right? You have this incredible presence online. Thank you so much. Good luck on your book tour.
And there's a link to your book on our website, broadcast.com as well. Thanks, Samantha.
Thanks so much, you guys.
So I can't believe our show is over. That's it. That's all we
that
got.
Was fast.
So check us out, broadcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Talk to us. The show's about you guys. Right, Kim?
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day.
Peace out.